Today's text will be Galatians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Well, I've entitled today's message, What It's All About. If you don't know me, maybe you're new, but I'm relatively new myself, so let me spend 1 minute introducing myself. My name is Jeremy Schmucker. I have been on staff here at the church for about 2 months now, and my family and I are very excited and thankful to be a part of this new community here at First Baptist Church of Laurel. I serve the church as a coordinator of ministries and just excited about what God is doing here at the church and how I am able to serve to wherever the Lord leads. And so as we look to Galatians today, we're going to conclude our entire series on Galatians. Pastor Brent has been preaching faithfully through the entire book, and we're going to conclude today. And the title of the sermon is What It's All About. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to sing this little song. Maybe you've heard it before. It says, you put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Well, is it really all about the hokey pokey? Is that all there is in life, is some stupid song to dance around and shake your little arm and legs and stuff? I think there's more to life than the hokey pokey, right? Probably that's true. But oftentimes in our culture, we find misplaced priorities. You see, oftentimes people focus too much on the wedding and they neglect the marriage. Oftentimes we look to rich, famous celebrities, yet we neglect serving the poor. There are even many times where we boast in our religious accomplishments, but we neglect to point people to the cross. You see, what Paul is telling us here in Galatians, really in the whole book, but specifically here in chapter 6, is that it is really salvation is by grace alone. It is not Jesus plus something. It is the grace of Jesus alone for salvation. Paul was a missionary. He would travel from town to town, and after he would leave some towns, he would start to get a little word. He would hear through the grapevine that the church he had just been to, they're starting to go wayward or off track with their theology. So oftentimes he would write them letters, and he would do a shift, and he would correct their theology, get them back to being gospel-centered, Jesus-centered churches. And here in the book of Galatians, Paul is confronting these Jewish converts. They were once Jews, now Christians, who have mixed their traditions with Scripture. You see, when you mix your traditions with Scripture, what you do is you create a false gospel. And you create something that's oftentimes called legalism. But if you're here this morning and you only hear one truth and you want to go back to sleep after I'm done with my intro, that's fine. Just hear one thing. It's all about the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross. It's not about the hokey pokey. It's all about the cross. If you have your text, look at Galatians 6, verse 11. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, look at what large letters I use as I write to you in my own handwriting. Paul was writing his letter, and he's probably, you know, relatively the same size letters he's writing on this old parchment paper. And when he gets to the end of Galatians, what does he do? He actually increases his font size. We do that with a click of the button on a computer. But in his days, he started writing bigger. Why? Because he wanted people to wake up and pay attention. You ever seen Sister Act from the 1990s? You remember that little song? If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Anybody remember that? No, you're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Well, it's a real thing. You can look it up. But this is what Paul's saying. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be a Christian, you got to wake up and pay attention. This is the time to pay attention. Look at these large letters that I use as I write to you. This is Paul's largest and longest salutation, the ending of a book. He spends more time, more words, more verses, and more space with this salutation than any other salutation in any of his other letters. All of Galatians, what Paul has been teaching us for 6 chapters, Pastor Brent has been preaching for multiple weeks, is that Galatians is by faith, or salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And Paul is going to reiterate that here, 6 chapters worth of theology condensed into 7 verses. It's all about the cross and the gospel of Jesus. So the first thing we see is that the gospel rejects additions. The gospel rejects additions. If you have your text again, look at verse 12. Galatians 6, verse 12. It says, those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised. but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even the circumcised don't keep the law themselves, and yet they want you to be circumcised in order to boast about your flesh. You see, circumcision was so important to these Jewish Christians, once Jews, now Christians. Their tradition of circumcision had been elevated to the point of salvation. They not only wanted themselves to be circumcised, they wanted you to be circumcised so that they could then boast and brag about, hey, I'm circumcised, he's circumcised, we're a church of circumcised people. But see, what they've done is they've actually created a legalistic false gospel. Their theology is written down in Acts chapter 15, verse 1. It says, unless you are circumcised according to the custom prescribed by Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, that's heresy. That's wrong. That's legalism. You do not need to be circumcised in order to be saved. But this is what they believed. Legalism says, if you drink, you can't be saved. Legalism says if you go to the movies, you can't be saved. Legalism says if you wear jeans to church, you can't be saved. But the true gospel, the gospel of the Bible, says that the salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, plus nothing. There's nothing you can add to Jesus. The gospel rejects additions. If you're in verse 12 again, look there. Why did they do this? What was their motivation? It says they did this to avoid being persecuted. To avoid being persecuted. You see, being a Christian, being a convert in that day meant there would be persecution in your life. It was not cool. It was not popular to be a Christian. So you would be faced with opposition. So they said, well, we're Christians, but we're still circumcised. So really, we're still one of the Jews. They were doing this out of self-serving motivation because they didn't want to be persecuted. You know, we don't face too much persecution in the United States today. And while I'm thankful for that, I don't want to be naive to know the fact that there are people around this world at this very moment where their life is in danger for the sake of the gospel. Just this past week, a country in West Africa, a man walked into a church and with a gun took down 14 people and ended their life because they were Christians. I attended a church in Texas 20 years ago. The same thing happened. 7 people were taken down. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen became the first martyr for the Christian faith when he was stoned to death because he believed in salvation in Jesus Christ. Persecution is real, and they did this to avoid persecution. Their fear convinced them of a wrong theology. They believed Jesus plus circumcision equals salvation. But that is a false gospel. You know, we have false gospels in the churches in America and the churches around the world today as well. Some churches, some people believe that Jesus plus baptism equals salvation, but that is a false gospel. Some people believe that Jesus plus being sober equals salvation, but that is a false gospel. Some people believe that Jesus plus fill in the blank equals salvation. That is a false gospel because the gospel rejects additions. Romans 2, verse 29 says, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not of the letter. You see, where they were so concerned about external circumcision, some physical marking on their body, Paul says, Jesus is more concerned about, has your heart been changed? Have you been circumcised in the heart for the sake of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit? So the gospel rejects additions. Have you ever met a Christian who maybe is also boasting about their spiritual accomplishments? Maybe they have a parking spot reserved for them in the front row of the church. That would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Maybe they have a building named after themselves because they've donated such a large amount of money. And that's fine. If you have the money, we'll take it here. That's fine. But I don't know if we're going to give, you know, put your name on the front of the church because this is the Lord's church. Some people have even boasted about, I've been a part of churches where they boast about their baptisms. We ought to boast about baptizing by seeing lives changed by the power of the gospel in their lives. But when we elevate bragging about the baptism as opposed to about bragging about the name of Jesus Christ, we have misplaced priorities. And that's what Paul is saying. They were too concerned with their external appearances, but they were not concerned about the internal regeneration of the soul. My prayer, I hope it's your prayer, is that here at First Baptist Church of Laurel, we are more concerned about elevating the name above all names, Jesus Christ, than we are about elevating the name of First Baptist Church of Laurel. I want to be a part of a church that elevates Jesus, that worships Jesus, that points to Jesus. And I'm thankful and I'm glad and I think that that is exactly the vision and the mission here at this church. So first, the gospel rejects addition. Second, the gospel boasts in the cross. Galatians 6:14, it says, "But as for me, I will never," Paul says, "I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, I will never boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, who also wrote the book of Romans in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he was asked this question. They said, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by grace through faith. So now that I'm a Christian, does that mean I'm allowed to keep on sinning because I know I'm forgiven?" What does Paul say? Paul says, "Absolutely not. God forbid," as the old King James put it. Some translations say, "Let it not be so." It is the strongest negative Greek word that could possibly be used. And it's the same Greek word that we see here in Galatians 6, where he says, I will absolutely not. "Let it not ever be said of me, God forbid I boast in anything except in the cross of Jesus Christ." Because the cross is really what it's all about. Boast not in anything except the cross. But you see, boasting is not bragging. Bragging is self-serving, right? We say, "Hey, I did this, I did that. These are my accomplishments." But boasting is to glory in, to trust in, to rejoice in, to revel in, or to live for. So my question is, what do you live for? Do you live for the cross? Do you live to have more money in your checking account, in your 401k? Do you live to live a happy life, to have a beautiful, wonderful family? Do you live to please your children, to please your spouse? You see, all these things I just mentioned are good things, right? They're not bad things. But when we have elevated the blessings of God to the idols in our life, we have neglected the blesser and focused on the blessings. And that is a misplaced priority. That becomes a legalistic idol in my life. And we ought to reject that. But you see, in first century Christianity, the cross was not something that was worthy of being boasted about. The cross was only viewed as a form of torture. It was very common to see a crucifixion, and so it was almost morbid and kind of grotesque for Paul to say, "I boast in the cross." I couldn't really think of a perfect correlation in our culture today, but the only one I came up with was, could you imagine if somebody said, "Hey, I boast in the guillotine"? That's kind of bizarre, right? That's kind of weird. It's a torture device. It's something that ultimately results in death. And we don't have a good view of a guillotine, but in our culture, because we know the power of Christ on the cross, we do have a good view of the cross. We put the cross on around our necks, on our jewelry. We put it in our landscaping. We hang it up in the center of our family life center. We put it everywhere, on bumper stickers, on our clothes, on our shoes. The cross is everywhere, and that is a good thing because we boast in the cross. But in that day, it would have been culturally abnormal for Paul to say, for anyone to say, "I boast in the cross." You see, the Greeks were actually so concerned about the word crucifixion, they often said, instead of writing the word crucifixion in their literature, they would write the unlucky tree, death by the unlucky tree. But what Paul is saying is that it wasn't just any unlucky tree. It was actually a great providential tree. It was the tree that was the cross of Christ that brought about salvation to the world for me and for you and for all those who place their trust in Christ. So the gospel boasts in the cross. It boasts only in the cross. It's all about the cross. It's not about the hokey pokey. It is all about the cross this morning. So the gospel first rejects addition. Second, it boasts in the cross. Third, the gospel crucifies the world. Look at verse 14 if you're in your text. The gospel crucifies the world. Verse 14, it says, "The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world." This is the difference between being gospel-centered or world-centered. We are told to be in the world, but not of the world. You see, Paul was saying, the world has been crucified to me. I'm not going to look at the blessings as my idol. I'm going to look at the blesser as the center of my worship. But notice there's a triple crucifixion happening here. First, Christ is crucified for us. Second, the world is crucified to me, and I then, third, am crucified to the world. You see, the world ought to be dead to us. The temptations to have idols in our lives ought to mean nothing to us. There's nothing wrong with desiring a larger savings account, but when that becomes your idol, that is wrong. When we elevate the blessings over the blesser, we have created idolatry. If you're in your Bible and you have a physical copy as opposed to a digital copy, turn back a page. If you're digital, just swipe left. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians 5:24, it says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." The flesh, the sinful desires of ourselves, the world around us, all that this world has to offer to us ought to be crucified to us. We ought to live in a way where it doesn't entice us. It doesn't entrap us. It doesn't even appeal to me because my eyes are so focused on the cross of Christ that anything this world has to offer pales in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus. And so the word that's used there, Galatians 5:24, where it says Jesus Christ has been crucified, that the flesh has been crucified, is the same word that's used in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, that we just read. The word crucified. You see, it is a historical word. It is a past tense historical event, but it's not just a point in history that ended. That word in the Greek tense actually carries forward. It has future and it has present implications. So yes, Christ was crucified, but we don't read about Christ crucified as a historical event. It is still living and present in my life and in your life today. The crucifixion of Christ, the implications of the blood of Christ, the resurrection of Christ carry forward today to my life and to your life, and that we are crucified with Christ and the world is crucified to us. We are not tempted by the world. Look at verse 15, Galatians 6, verse 15. It says, "For both circumcision and uncircumcision, they mean nothing. What matters is a new creation." You see, these Jewish Christians, these new converts, they were so consumed about external appearances. They had to look the part, they had to sound the part, they had to feel the part. They wanted to do everything right on the external, but they had totally neglected the fact that it was an internal regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit that would ultimately set them free and usher in salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." And so maybe you say, "Jeremy, are you telling me that all these other things are bad? Is it bad to want to be financially secure? Is it bad to focus on my family? Is it bad to X, Y, and Z?" And I would say, absolutely not. It's not bad to look for those things as long as you view them as worship. Things to be grateful for. You offer them back up to the Lord. So when he's blessed you financially, are you giving that back to the Lord in a way that is honoring? When he's giving you a wonderful, loving family, are you serving your family in a way that is worship, that is offering thanksgiving and gratitude for the Lord? But I think I would be remiss this morning if I didn't acknowledge the fact that some of you are sitting here today and you probably don't have those things. Some of you don't have financial security. Some of you are surrounded by debt. Some of you don't have family. Some of you don't know your mother and father. Some of you have never had children the way that you dreamt that you would. Some of you are not surrounded by the love that you always dreamed of. But the point that Paul is saying is that no matter what you have or what you don't have, you have something to boast in. You have something to be thankful for. You have something to live for this morning, whether you feel it or not. The truth of the gospel is you have one thing to live for this morning, and that is the cross of Christ. That is Jesus Christ, because we have worship to give him because of the cross. Look at verse 16. Galatians 6, verse 16, it says, "May peace come to those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God." There's two promises in this text. There's a promise of peace and there's a promise of mercy. But are they blanket promises? Are they just given to everybody? No, not at all. What's the condition? There's a condition to this promise. It says, "You will have peace if you follow this standard." What standard? Well, the standard is referring to the Bible. The Greek word that's used there is the word canon. Maybe you've heard people say the canon of Scripture, that refers to the 66 books that you hold in your hands that compose the Bible. So if you follow the standard of the Bible, if you look to the Bible, if you desire to know the God of the Bible, to place your trust in the Jesus of the Bible, then peace will come to you. Is anybody looking for more peace today? I know I am, right? If you want more peace, look to the Bible. Trust the Jesus of the Bible. If you want less anxiety, less depression, less fear, less uncertainty, look to the Bible. Look to the Bible. Look to the standard that is found in the Bible. Peace will be given to you. The second promise is mercy. Mercy even to the Israel of God. Who's the Israel of God? Well, the Bible says, whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're male or female, slave or free, if you are in Christ, you are the new, the better, the spiritual Israel. You are the recipient of the blessings of God. You are the chosen family of God that before the foundations of this world were formed, God put in motion a plan of redemption to save you from your sin, that you might be chosen in Him to be conformed to the image of Christ, and that you would be the recipient of the blessings of peace and mercy through the power of Jesus on the cross. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It's the same Spirit that quickened you to salvation, that sustains you today through your trials and tribulations. So if you're looking for peace, run to Jesus, run to the cross, run to the Bible, trust the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit by being in God's Word. The gospel crucifies this world. Fourth thing, the gospel is marked by grace. The gospel is marked by grace. Remember, first, we saw the gospel rejects additions. Second, the gospel boasts in the cross. Third, the gospel crucifies the world. And now, the gospel is marked by grace. If you're still in your text, look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He says, let no one cause me trouble. Let no one grieve me. Let no one bother me. You know, we just came off Thanksgiving holiday. A couple things Thanksgiving holiday is known for, at least in my opinion. The first thing, perhaps the most important thing, is an insane amount of food. Amen? Right? We love food in our culture, and I'm so thankful for all that food that we're able to eat. The second thing that Thanksgiving is known for is football. And like myself, I'm a Cowboys fan, so things didn't go so well on Thanksgiving. So don't hold that against me, but that's okay. And the third thing it's known for is family. You surround yourself with family. Sometimes things go really well with your family, and sometimes holidays can draw out some family drama. And people can start to affect you. People can start to offend you. People can start to bother you. But Paul says, let no one cause me trouble. Let no one bother me. Let no one cause me trouble. Why can Paul say this? He says, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, more than that, I consider everything to be a loss, everything a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So whatever this world has to offer me, the riches of this world, or the most beautiful family, the most successful career, whatever may come, none of that matters. He says, I consider everything to be a pile of rubbish, a pile of trash. I consider everything a loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. I would be better off losing everything if I have Christ than gaining everything without Christ. Everything is as loss. And Paul says, let no one cause me trouble. Because I have battle wounds to prove it, he says. Look there, it's again in verse 17, 18. It says, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. These marks that he's referring to, there's different ways that marks could be understood historically. The first would have been like through some ink or through tattoos. You would see a mark from somebody. Another way that the word marking was most often used was through the branding of a slave. And though that is grossly barbaric and awful to do that, it was done in that culture. And what that would do is it would signify that you belong to somebody. And though we reject that culturally, Paul says, I've been marked. I've been branded for the sake of Jesus Christ. And he wasn't just speaking metaphorically. Paul was speaking literally. He endured suffering. He endured persecution. He endured beatings for the sake of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, if there was a competition for who was the most persecuted Christian of all time, Paul would probably be top five. He might win a gold medal. He had endured real persecution. Listen to Paul's own words. He says, I'm a better one with far more labors, Many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, many times near death. 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 I was shipwrecked, and I spent a night and a day at open sea. Paul endured real persecution. He had whippings on his back to prove his Christianity. He had scars on his arms. He had been beaten, stoned, and shipwrecked for the sake of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I still consider all of that as loss because it's worth it to know Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Do you want to live a godly life for Jesus Christ this morning? You will be persecuted. You will endure hard times. You can take it to the bank because we are treading on spiritual ground when we say, I want to plant my flag with Jesus Christ. And there is an enemy out there who wants to attack us. And you will be persecuted. I'm sorry that's not the rosy sermon maybe you came here for this morning, but you see what the prosperity gospel does, which is rampant in our culture today. The prosperity gospel takes verses like Philippians 4:13 that says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They'll take that verse and they say, if you have enough faith in Jesus, you can have whatever you want. You can be healthy, wealthy, and happy. But the true gospel says that that's a pile of garbage, that you will face persecution. You see, the true gospel says that even in the midst of the storm, even when you have been beaten and flogged for the sake of Christ, even when you are a victim of rape or domestic abuse, even when alcohol and drugs wrap their fingers around you, even when you cannot see the silver lining in your sufferings, even when you grieve the loss of a loved one, even when your children cause you more pain than joy, even when the stresses and anxieties of this world seem to consume you, keep your chin up, because the same power that was in Jesus Christ to raise him from the grave is the same power that is in you and I this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the true gospel says you are marked by grace this morning in Jesus Christ. And so we praise him for his power. We praise him for that, but we don't want to be naive to say it's all going to be happy, healthy, and wealthy, because we will endure persecution. But Paul reminds us it's worth it. It's worth it for the sake of knowing Jesus. It's worth it to boast in the cross. And so Paul concludes verse 18. Last verse, the whole book of Galatians. He says, brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The gospel is marked by grace. His grace is sufficient. If you fit into one of those categories I just mentioned, whether you are a victim or a victimizer, the grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you've been through today, his grace is sufficient for you. No matter what battle, what struggle you may feel is wrapping its fingers around you so tightly, his grace is sufficient for you. No matter what temptation or addiction you're really struggling to overcome this morning, his grace is sufficient for you. How do we know that? Because it's all about the cross. It's all about the cross. It's not about the hokey pokey. It's not about being enticed by the surroundings of this world, but it's all about the cross. So look to the cross. Look to Jesus. Look to his sufficient and all-powerful grace this morning. And so I'd like to just take this opportunity and recognize there may be some of you here this morning that don't know the cross of Christ. That maybe your boasting is not in the cross, and you're realizing for the first time this morning the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, and he's telling you that you have not planted your flag with Jesus, that you have not decided to follow Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so my encouragement to you is respond to that prompt from the Holy Spirit and trust him with your life, that you would make this day the day that you respond to the grace of Jesus, because it's all about the cross. Everything in this world will fade, but it's all about the cross. Run to the cross. Look to the cross. Trust the cross. If you learn one thing from the book of Galatians over these last several weeks, here's what it is. This is what it's all about. It's all about the cross.
Thanks for listening to the Messages Podcast of First Baptist Church of Laurel. Want to get a hold of us or know more about us? Go to our website, fbclaurel.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just use FBC Laurel. If you're in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, join us at one of our services on Sunday at 8 a.m., 10:45 a.m. in English or Spanish. We look forward to connecting with you.
The Messages.